You see this rose-colored vestment. Church is asking us to rejoice even in the midst of our own Lenten disciplines. We've made it halfway through, a little bit more through Lent, and we're asking that the joy of the Lord would be our strength as we continue our journey towards the cross of Christ, that we might experience again his resurrection. We've been speaking a lot about prayer during this Lenten season, and it was my plan to preach about difficulties in prayer this week, and I found out that none of you have any, so... But as I was preparing with the gospel, I thought that perhaps before we talk about the difficulties, maybe next week, it's most important for us to remember who it is that we're communing with. Right? When we enter into prayer, we have basically two questions. Who am I? And who am I speaking with? Right? Who is this God that we are seeking in prayer? I thought there was no better gospel reading than this parable to help us to understand who it is that we approach when we pray. Now, this parable is given in the context of a complaint against Jesus. The complaint from the scribes and the Pharisees is that he welcomes sinners and he eats with them. This is good news for you and me, because that means that Jesus is ready to spend time with us. So Jesus responds to this complaint by trying to teach them who God is, what he's like, in this perhaps most famous of all, most well-known of all of Jesus' parables. We know it well, right? His father and his two sons. And I'd like to just go through each of the characters and kind of follow their action. And each of them, there's three stages. Just for us to kind of enter into the psychological space, perhaps, of each of them. We'll start with the youngest son. The first stage for him is the stage of rebellion. This is where the story begins. He offends his father by saying, basically, you're as good as dead to me. He rejects his father's rightful authority over him. And he demands from his father what is not his, the inheritance that would become his upon his father's death. And with that inheritance, he goes away, he sets off, and spends it all, squanders it all, wastes what his father had worked so hard to build up. His first stage is clearly a stage of rebellion. Then, after squandering it all, he enters into this stage of suffering. He finds himself in great need. Whereas before, his belly had been filled with feasting, now he experiences hunger. And he experiences great shame as he finds himself working in the lowest of jobs, the most offensive of places for his people, longing to eat the food of the swine, the most unclean of all animals for the Jewish people. He's at the point of despair. And in the midst of this suffering, he begins to ponder. He begins to reflect. It says he comes to his senses. He remembers where he is from. Isn't this true for us? Oftentimes in that moment of deepest suffering is when we finally look inward. We finally begin to ask the questions we should have been asking from the beginning. And that leads to the third stage for this youngest son. Stage of restoration. He determines to get up from his squalor, to return to the Father, to kneel before him, and to beg to be treated as his servant. His rebellion, his suffering, and his restoration. Meanwhile, how does the Father react during these same three stages. Though offended, the Father freely gives without a word or a complaint. And as his son is gone, the Father is waiting, is watching the road for his return, is praying for his well-being. And when he finally sets sight on his son, what does he do? But he runs out to him, and he embraces him, and kisses him, and he restores him to his dignity as son. Now, the parable is also about the oldest son, perhaps even more so, because we're told that Jesus addresses this parable to the Pharisees and the scribes. So let's look at him for a minute, the three stages of his story. The first stage is the stage of his toil. It says, day after day, he was with the father on the farm, doing what the father asked of him. The second stage, when he realizes that his father has thrown this party for his younger brother's return, we see that he rages against the father. And he refuses to enter in to his home, to the father's presence, to the celebration. And finally, when his father comes out, he finally lets out all of the resentment that he had been carrying for all of these years. He complains against his father. He accuses him of being unjust and unfair to him. Meanwhile, what does the father do? The father works alongside his son, day after day. And when he finds that his son refuses to come into the house, the father goes out to him and pleads with him. And when his son lays on him these accusations, rather than defend himself, he consoles his son. He promises him that everything that I have is yours. And he instructs him why it is fitting that this celebration would happen. Your brother was dead, and he has come to life again. This parable is about revealing to us who we are and revealing to us who the Father is. It reveals the character of God our Father in his heart. Whether we're like the younger son or the older son, and maybe at different times we are one or the other, both, what we notice is that the Father is unchanging. The Father remains the same. He is the faithful one. He is the one always longing for our good and our well-being. He is the one who does not hold our sins against us. He is the one who comes out to meet us where we are. He is the one always seeking to restore us into his household and to his grace. He is the forgiving Father. He's the Father who embraces us with affection and with concern. He is the Father who is lavish and extravagant in his gifts that he pours out upon us. The character of the Father is revealed so beautifully in this parable. We see so much of who he is. But honestly, this isn't even half of the revelation of the heart of the Father and the lengths that he is willing to go to prove his love for us. One of my favorite ways of praying is just by looking at the crucifix and asking three questions: who, what, and why? Who is this being crucified? What is really happening here? And why? Meditating on the crucifix is a meditation on the Father's love. Because who it is that we see is not just a man, not some criminal, but the innocent one, the only Son of the Father. What is happening? Not just a cruel form of torture, but an act of self-gift, self-sacrificial love. And why is this happening? Because of what I have done, because of my sins, because I have rejected the Father and His love for me. But even more so because the Father loves me enough to give what was most precious to Him. This is the Father's love, that He would send His only Son to redeem and bring back His wayward foster child, that He would give up the one who stayed faithful to Him in order to reveal His love for the one who rejected Him without cause, without reason. The depths of the Father's love for us. If we would simply understand that, our prayer would be totally transformed. There are two essential questions when we pray: who is God? Who am I? Jesus is trying to teach us today that God is our all-loving Father, and that you are His beloved child. Do these two realities inform and shape the way that you pray? If so, great. And how can you deepen your childlike trust in the Heavenly Father and run to Him without hesitation in your moments of need? And if not, what can you do to develop this childlike trust in your prayer to the Father? We are all children of the Father, whether we have strayed or whether we have stayed. But He comes out to meet us in prayer with His fatherly heart to reveal the depths of His love for us.